Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hello, creepies, and welcome to Middle-Aged Mini number 83. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, gentlemen?
Oh my gosh. Good night.
It is a good night. It is a great, it's a great night, actually.
Rainy, but it's great night.
Great night. Sorry, I'm not on the mic.
We can't hear you, Nate.
Can't hear me.
Yeah, it is rainy outside. But you know what?
What?
I told Nate, don't have to shovel rain.
That's right.
Better than snow.
Ta-da. I don't care. I got four-wheel drive.
I don't like snow. I don't like it, Nate.
Bring it on, whatever it is. Huh?
Yeah.
No, I prefer the rain. But yeah, it's a good night. Great night. Good week. I'm having a great week. I just have to say that. Mm-hmm. I'm proud. I've had crappy 2 weeks.
Yeah, right.
Before that. So, not to brag, but yeah. So, just had a nice conversation, a little guest chat with Dave Domi.
We did.
Learned a lot about Massachusetts.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
The mass. Creepy Mass.
We appreciate it, Dave, by the way. That's awesome.
Yep.
We had a good time.
How old that place is, it's not surprising.
A lot of history.
True. Mm-hmm. True. And that's why we need to go. That's why I need to go, other than the Red Sox game. But my point.
But my actual point.
Anyway, so Creepies, thanks for joining us for this Mini 83. And let's just get right to it. Sean, what are we going to talk about?
Well, first of all, it's Nate's choice. I don't want to forget that.
That's right.
I only forget when it's your choice.
That's right. That is absolutely true.
We are going to talk about something spooky sounding. Oh. I know. It's true, sir. House of Death in New York City.
House of Death, you say?
I say House of Death.
If that doesn't grab you, then I don't know what.
Isn't it cool?
House of Death.
It even looks cool.
Yeah. When Nate said he had that as his idea, I'm like, ooh,
mm-hmm.
Let's do
this.
How
can we say no?
I know. You got House of Death. Well, I mean, we're sold.
You had us at House of Death.
So let's talk about it. What do we got there, Sean? What little foundation?
Well, it's in New York. New York, New York. So NYC. It says, in the bustling and picturesque neighborhood of Greenwich Village, which I've been there, by the way.
Oh, have
you? Yeah, I probably actually been by this place, didn't even know, many moons ago. The many streets lined with 100-year-old plus brownstones give off that classic New York City vibe. A lot of old-world Manhattan charm still exists in these city blocks and homes, but one totally unassuming building on West 10th Street, it is locally known as the House of Death, and it has quite an active paranormal presence.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, a doo-doo, mm-hmm. A doo-doo.
I like this little paragraph. It says, when a property is deemed the House of Death, you know there's bound to be at least one gut-wrenching story attached to it. No
you
doubt.
You know it.
Yeah.
Don't you know?
Yeah.
This is a lovely House of Death you have here.
Why, thank you.
This is just my summer home.
What is that aroma? Oh, it's death. Oh,
it's death. Yeah. It's even in the curtains.
Oh, what's in here?
Yeah, right.
What's in this closet? Oh, that's where I keep all my scythes.
Yeah.
Or scythes.
Scythes, yeah.
Both.
And this other closet is where Death keeps his cloak.
You know, I always wanted a cloak. I wanted to just be able to say, I have a cloak.
I have a cloak.
Not really wear it, but just, well, what is that? That's my cloak. That's
right. Apocalyptic cloak.
Cloak and dagger. Yeah, this place is pretty neat. I like the picture of it. It's got that reddish hue. No, reddish brownstone.
Brownstone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, a revivalist.
Just from the looks of it, I'd live there. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
There are upwards of, what, 22 ghosts there, mm-hmm. supposedly?
That's what I read.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
21 more than we got here.
Mm-hmm.
<That's>,
don't tell Rachel.
Yeah, right. Don't. She doesn't listen. So
that's right.
It doesn't matter. It says the house seems to have started earning its reputation gradually after the Borman family stopped living there. The first recorded incident of bad luck happened in 1897. Cycling celebrity Fred H. Andrew, the new owner and occupier of 14 West 10th Street, had a moment of bad luck. During his residency, as described in the New York Times of August 9th, 1897, Andrew had a moment of reckless bicycle riding that caused him to hit a boy, reckless bicycle riding that caused him to hit a boy, or around 8 years old. Okay. The boy suffered a broken leg, and Andrew was subsequently arrested. Mm-hmm. But the house's most famous tenant was
Mark Twain.
Very
Mark Twain. Samuel Clemens.
He has a mighty bushy mustache.
They call him the mustachioed legend.
They said he only lived there like a year, but they said that. But he still mm-hmm. shows up around here, so he must have liked this place.
Yeah, or of course his real name is Samuel Clemens.
Samuel.
Yeah, they say that's the most famous resident of the House of Death.
That's right. Well, they said that they hear spirits saying, giving the name Clemens, and they're like, ah, it's Samuel Clemens.
Mm-hmm.
It says the four-story brownstone building was constructed sometime during the late 1850s, just before the Civil War had started. The lower Manhattan area neighborhood was indeed home to many aspiring New York City socialites, elites, or however you say that, as well as some philanthropic businessmen. In fact, James Johnson was largely responsible for the Metropolitan Underground Railroad. It was said to be one of the first tenants of the building. He was said to be one of the first tenants of the building. One of the most startling claims from the local historians and paranormal enthusiasts is that since many tenants have come and gone, living over the many decades in the building, there have been a claim of up to 22 individual spirits roaming its halls. That, like I said, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's saying here that Mark Twain, even though he only lived there a little over 12 months, he battled bankruptcy and battle bankruptcy and churning out some of his rushed but classic works. He also was fighting depression, not helped by the sad mustache he wore constantly.
Sad, you
such
say?
Such a sad yeah. mustache.
I like it.
He was noted to be a ghost skeptic. Yet he wrote a clear and plain paranormal experience he had in his new home. One evening, he witnessed a large piece of wood kindling moving in the air all by itself. Thinking the wood was being moved by a rat that had some use for the wood, a new piece of furniture perhaps, he shot it with his gun.
Ooh.
As anyone would have done. I suppose. It suddenly fell to the ground, surrounded by a few drops of blood. Rats outnumbered people in New York even then. But the house was not noted for having an infestation. Twain maintained the blood was that of a rodent and not of a ghost.
Mm.
Last I recall, I don't think ghosts bleed, do they?
No. Mm-mm. I don't think so.
But I don't see a rat.
Rats do.
I don't see a rat needing wood. A piece of wood.
I wonder how big it was.
Well, he said kindling, so.
Oh, kindling, yeah.
Yeah.
I can picture it. I don't think ghosts bleed.
You know, when I see stuff move around the house, I just pull the gun out and shoot it.
Right. Blast it away. We're talking about Mark Twain, though. He's a pretty interesting character.
He was, Sean. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, he didn't actually die there. He died in 1910 in Reading, Connecticut. Said, although Clemens died in another nearby state, somehow his spirit is still haunting the building. The first sighting of it occurred sometime in the 1930s when a resident saw the much recognizable spirit of Samuel Clemens staring out the window. As the spirit was approached, it turned to the resident and meekly said, "My name is Clemens. And I has a problem here I gotta settle," before disappearing. While Clemens' ghost has been seen many times, historians have absolutely no leads as to what the problem is that the spirit is referring to that he must be settling. The only lead may be that Clemens was in debt to financial creditors, like you said, Nate, throughout a portion in his life, this portion of his life, and that he might be referring to an unsettling debt. Other times, his spirit appears in a classic Southern gentleman's all-white suit, which he wore many times or often, drifting near the bottom of the staircase, displaying a sad expression on his face. Poor Mark Twain.
Well, coming off of that, it says, although Twain did not have many pleasant memories of the house, he can still be seen roaming the stairwell of the House of Death. Subsequent occupants have seen this visage trudging up and down the stairs, commonly considered the most haunted section of the home. He may also be responsible for disembodied marching sounds that have been heard everywhere in the vacated parts of the house.
Hmm.
I think Mark's he's trying to scare people. Or Sammy.
For not liking that house, he sure likes to be there.
Yeah. He likes it better now than he did when he actually was in there. That's there's a the famous American author in 1909. Yeah, he had a that's a heck of a mustache. Mustachioed.
And sad.
and
what
sad.
A sad mustache.
Yeah, did he ever smile? That's how he always looked, right?
Was pretty much. The I mean, I didn't get to spend much time with him, but yeah, I bet he smiled.
I don't think he smiled too much.
No, I don't know.
He made a lot of good jokes, though. He was very punny.
He was a punny man. You are a punny man, Mark. Yeah. Jan Bryant Bartel and her daughter took up residency of a spacious apartment on the top floor in 1957. The famous actress, psychic, and writer moved into the apartment which once housed the servants. Bartel reported almost immediately that a monstrous moving shadow would often follow her around the house. One time she writes that she had seen a ghostly figure of a man standing in a hall. Bravely, she reached out and tried to touch whatever she was seeing. She felt something, but nothing like she had felt before. She described it as a substance without substance.
Hmm.
Okay. Chilly, damp, how in the heck is that word? Diaphanous, I'm not sure. As marsh, mist, or a cloud of ether. I could feel my fingers freeze at the tips. They were numb, and yet they tingled. In the split second between contact and recoil, the scent came, fragile and languorous and sweet, unbearably cloyingly sweet. Hmm. Says this unusual scent was not only odd and bitter, since the Bartel family reported smelling during their time at the House of Death. Anyway, that's it said there many small animals would also often become aggressive for no reason, as if disturbed by invisible enemies in the building. That's kind of terrifying.
The whole place is like, it's just so, it looks very historic, you know, I mean, it's very mm-hmm. inviting, but when you look
at it,
has
the look,
it does have the look, but and you have, some of these pictures inside just look super creepy.
Yeah. Did you write this down, Sean?
Did before we started.
Okay.
Make it sure says it's on the list. The house has been visited by multiple paranormal investigators who claim to have seen and sensed the presence of, you guys are going to be shocked by this, a lady in white.
No way.
Yes, a young child and a gray cat. We haven't said much about a gray cat, but
no.
Here we go. But I've heard they were reports of shadow figures, orbs, weird smells. There were, you know, just all kind of the different voice recordings. A lot of the stuff that we hear, but this place has a ton of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to go.
And then 1987, there was a murder at the House of Death.
Mm. Do tell.
The building made national headlines briefly in 1987 when prominent New York City attorney Joel Steinberg moved in with his girlfriend, Hedda Nussbaum, and their two small children, Lisa and the infant Mitchell. Steinberg, high on cocaine, savagely beat both Hedda and Lisa to a point where the younger girl was legally declared brain dead by the beating. Mm. Steinberg was convicted and served a lengthy prison sentence for his crime and the young girl's death. To this day, the floor on which they stayed occasionally is known to have a flicker of lights going on and off at very odd times, a possible cry for help from the young Lisa's spirit even after all these years. Today, the building is still rented out to various tenants on various floors and keeps a rather normal profile.
That's a sad story.
Yeah.
I can hear some crackling.
Snap, crackle, and pop?
That's right. I think what we'll do is we'll just go to, let's see here, we'll go to New York, check out some sites there, go to the House of Death, then we'll venture to the New England area, see? So we'll just make it like a week trip.
We'll
visit the haunted Massachusetts area.
There's a lot of history, obviously, in New York.
Between those two states? Oh, my gosh.
Man. But New York City by itself, I would like, and I know it's a very, a revered place, and I've never been. I was actually, last time I was in New York and went through Greenwich Village was when it was April of 2001, so it was before the Twin Towers fell. Mm. But I've always been fascinated. I'd love to go see the Freedom Towers and Ground Zero and everything. Like I would and see the museum. And I was just curious, you know, like people, the experiences they've had at Ground Zero, you know, like just because right. that is such a, as a place where so many people lost their lives and so mm-hmm. much tragedy. Lot of stuck energy there, I'm sure. So it would be interesting to visit. But like I said, I haven't been back there since it was quote unquote normal.
Oops. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I've always, I'm interested in that too. I have not looked up a lot of, you know, what those stories are, or if people have had experiences around there, but I would imagine that there are some stories out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd like to see what the monstrous moving shadow is all about.
I know. I like that description.
Mm-hmm.
Substance without substance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confused by her tactics when she described.
Not all ghosts have been like kindly old Sam Clemens, it says. However, the residents have reported sightings as recently as a few years ago. And some of them have been chilling enough to scare people away from the building for good. Dennis, a musician and photo buff, has lived on the third floor, number 16, for more than 20 years. He didn't want to give his last name because he was embarrassed to be sharing ghost stories. He says that he has seen little clips and visions of women in long gowns going from room to room, as well as experiencing seemingly random flickering of lights. Does he think that seeing the same ghosts from the next door at the House of Death, walls don't stop them from doing anything, he says. He recalled one night many years ago when he was photographing a dancer in his living room. He left her alone in the room for a minute or so, he thought. His guest was startled to see a lady in a long flowing gown, followed by a cat, so there's where that gray cat comes in, walking into the room. The dancer picked up her stuff and ran out. She wasn't the first female visitor who fled this apartment after being spooked. He's had girls that would never come back. Most detailed account is the possessed building comes from Bartel's memoir, who we were talking about, Spindrift, spray from a psychic sea, written in 1974, just before she died. From the first day Bartel and her husband Fred moved into the top floor that was once the servants' quarters, she felt the strange chill of the house closing in around her. But due to a housing shortage at the time, she had little choice but to stick it out. The strange occurrences started out small, a sound of footsteps following her upstairs, a brush against the back of her neck. Even when her hair was tied up, a strange rotting smell that would seemingly come and go like wisping smoke. Things got darker, shadows that no light would touch, a mysterious chair their dog would snarl at and growl at, and it contained some invisible enemy. Then a phantom shriveled grape that appeared in the dead center of a clean dinner plate, even though the couple hadn't bought grapes in months. She found furniture inexplicably moved from its usual place. The sound of crashing glass chased her around the building.
Say that last part again.
Phantom shriveled grape. Or found furniture inexplicably moved in the unusual places from its usual place. Excuse me. The sound of crashing glass chased her around the building. So the sounds of like yeah. crashing glass, like, oh my gosh, what's going on? But right. there's nothing around that's actually breaking.
Yeah, that was the part. Oh man,
you're talking about rotten odors that appeared out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. So rotting miasma was offensive. I would say that would probably be pretty offensive. So, woo.
Makes me think of when you would think it'd have to be something malevolent if it's rotting. You know what I'm saying? If you have rotting odors and, yeah. and things like that, or things like the glass chasing, that's kind of aggressive and violent sounding. Instead of just say, oh, yeah, it's a nice, pleasant smell of, you know, lavender. You know what I'm saying? It sounds mm-hmm. kind of an angry location. So, basically... to end this discussion, it says, unfortunately, the building, and this is as of January 19th, 2023, so pretty recent, I would say. Unfortunately, the building is still a private residence. You cannot just walk in there unless you are invited.
Says who?
Says somebody.
Send our goons.
Where I want.
That was Nate Laux, everybody. there have been paranormal investigators that were able to do sessions there, but perhaps you'll feel the presence of the ghost even by walking down the street. So, looks like we have to be invited.
I like this place.
Like a ghost. Too.
I do too.
Talk like a ghost.
Back to music.
So, thumbs up on this place, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Got the little Mark Twain action. Got some deaths. Some horrible crime, though, for the little girl. That's a sad one. Mm-hmm. But it has some kind of scary, little aggressive sounding hauntings, you know.
Uh-huh.
Massive shadow person.
Monstrous.
Oh, monstrous.
Monstrous. Yes. Something.
Vigorous.
There's a gaggle of ghosts there.
There are not any vigorous, horny hedgehogs. I don't care how bad
don't
you want
try.
It. No. But then again, this place has it all, so maybe it
like
does.
22, so that's a gaggle of ghosts, easily.
A gaggle.
A gaggle.
You say.
Gaggle of ghosts.
I like to say plethora, but I like gaggle.
Plethora.
Gaggle. Gaggle works too.
Herd.
That is
a herd of ghosts.
Pod.
Pod. What if there was a certain
spectra.
Term for a spectra? I wonder if
specter.
A spectra of specters.
Ooh,
I suspect.
That's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'd say so.
Hey, you know what? Before we
get too slap happy,
yeah, Nate,
slap happy.
Help us out here, man.
Well, that was the House of Death. Go get you some, and that's a wrap.
Yeah,
or stay away. It's private property.
We're gonna be there, and then hope they invite us.
Stand outside awkwardly.
Hey, can we help
with
you
signs.
People? We're just waiting for you to invite us
in.
Yeah,
like Black Eyed Children.
That's right. The Black Eyed Podcasters. Creepies, we want to thank you as always for listening to the Middle Age Mini number 83 and our interesting discussion on the House of Death in New York City. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
See you.